you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Spiegs won't even tell us where he went on his vacation. He says it's so weird.
Shane, wake up. Tanny, we got to have another little taste because Spiegs is here. Huh? Yeah.
So we went to this place called Getaway Cabins.
Getaway Cabins.
Getaway. And the Getaway Cabins are tiny. They're basically the size of a shipping container. So it's kind of like a tiny house. And
okay.
You've got two Adirondack chairs and a fire pit. They'll pre-make a fire for you, so it's sitting right there ready to go in the fire pit. There's a grill attached to the fire pit, so you can use the grill and grill some stuff up. But the cabin itself is tiny.
Cherish the cabin. It's often been a sanctuary for me.
Kind of like Superman's Fortress of Solitude.
This is like a darkness retreat?
Middle of the woods.
In the quiet, in the absolute darkness. Darkness retreat. Darkness retreats. Darkness. But sitting in the darkness with your thoughts in the darkness. What would hit me in the darkness before I went to darkness? In the darkness, darkness, darkness.
Not quite darkness, because there's power. There's central air. It was amazing.
Central air?
Yeah. I mean, so a tiny little space. Doesn't take much to cool it down, but yeah. Unbelievably comfortable. Straight up glamping.
Glamping is glamour camping. Heated tents, catered meals, Wi-Fi.
You're describing a hotel.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm still a no.
Yeah.
Still mostly
I get it.
A no on that.
I get it. It depends on the company, man. Like, you really got to be into the person you're with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Still probably a no.
You and me could do it. Just bring a couple of microphones. Yeah.
Yeah, just do the show for nobody.
That's record it. And then, you know.
Bringing tech into the woods.
Well, like the one that Shane went to, he said there was a loft bed in the one down by Starved Rock, so we could bring Shane and Tanny. All four of us could do it. Show outing.
Oh, yeah. We should all be in a smaller space together. That would be good.
That's what I'm looking to get even closer and more intrusive in each other's lives. That's
on
right.
On the weekend during our vacation time. Sounds cool. Cool, cool. This game is weird, man.
That was your reaction, and I understood it in the text thread last night about, like, yeah, sports, your sport is weird. 21-2. The Cubs outscore the Orioles. Orioles haven't been swept at home since they were terrible before, it was 2021 before they turned the corner with this rebuild, this massive rebuild.
And I get it, right? I've watched baseball and basketball and football for a long enough time that I understand that the best team will, win 100 games and the worst team will win 60 games. And so anything can happen in a three-game series or a one-week stretch. And it's a very small microscopic amount of the large sample of 162. But it's still weird.
Yeah.
It's still weird.
It's weird, but I love it that the line between, the just below mediocre and the just above mediocre is so very thin, it's like, because the Cubs are, they are not comprised to be as bad as they have played.
But last week we were doing the jokes about break out your shirts from 2015 that said we are good and write the word not in there.
Because that's
not that
reality.
Long ago.
I know it is not that long ago. It is an incredibly difficult sport where the best hit 310 and the worst hit 205, and that's just not that different. If you want to do an OBP, the best have a 380 OBP, and the worst have like a 250 OBP. And it's just, it's not that different on a scale of 1,000. You know, it's just, it's a very thin margin. And I love that about it. It frustrates people like crazy. And I know it frustrates you in that way.
Oh, so, I mean, somewhat, but it's not one of the things, honestly, that's not really one of the things that I have a problem with baseball. I do think it clouds some of the analysis around it. This team is streaky. Like, when I asked in transition if Jed was going to take a victory lap, I did not expect the answer to be yes, but I am genuinely interested in the tone that he will strike. Like, because is this indicative of what he believes his team really is? Is he going to give the cliche of you are what your record says you are?
I think he's been sitting around and waiting and hoping and praying that they would show him something like this. So I don't know.
But is this enough?
Because
he's not going to answer definitively if they're buying or selling, and he shouldn't, and he doesn't need to.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. And the amazing thing is that it's happening again with a July of consequence. And the fact that July matters is in itself not a great sign, you know, for the team building. It should,
right, you'd like to be the Phillies.
Yeah, sure, you'd like to be the Phillies, or you'd like to be, obviously, you'd like to be the Brewers, or you'd even, you know, you'd like to be the Padres, or you'd like to be, you know, one of those teams that's been hanging around comfortably somewhere between 4 and 11 games over 500, something like that. And they've shown you that, yeah, there's the bones of a contender in there. I mean, this season has made us wonder whether there is even the bones of a good team in there. And so that in itself is not a great sign, but it's a fascinating place to be, that's for sure. And I'm hoping that they continue to make some decisions very difficult this month.
That's the only way it stays interesting, is if they keep winning, because they're hanging on by a thread. You mentioned it, just over 13% is the playoff projections right now, but it is hard to shake the results of that series. And that is why people also say if you get into the postseason, anyone can win.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
If the Cubs made it, you'd reference this series as to why they could go on a run and win a pennant or a World Series. That's how it works.
And here's the thing. I agree. And here's the thing. A week ago, it looked like there was a malaise. There was something wrong with this team. Non-competitive at bats, you know, like mistakes in the field. You look at them now. These at bats are something. They're hitting with runners in scoring position. There's still some awkwardness out there in right field with Seiya Suzuki. I really want to ask Jed about that, man. That dude is, whew. He almost hurt Nico. He almost hurt our Nico last night.
Yeah, which is not acceptable.
No, we don't accept that. But like, there's this team's starting to have a little confidence, and you wonder if, you know, how much that is going to matter over the course of this weekend with 4 in St. Louis. I think it will matter.
Tons to get to with Jed Hoyer. It'll be interesting to see the tone that he strikes after this is the version of the team that, considering the opponents and the desperation, it's the best ball they've been playing all year. So it'll be very interesting to see what Jed Hoyer's willing to share about where his mindset is at right now. So we'll talk to the president of the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, coming up. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Jed's in charge. I'm going on a bender.
Jed Hoyer.
People care so much about the Cubs. It's an honor to work for a team where the fans care that much.
Chicago Cubs president of baseball operations.
Jed Hoyer, man, what a story that is.
World Series champion general manager.
The key to this whole operation is going to be building that scouting player development machine. The Cubs way.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Jed Hoyer.
And the pitch. Ground ball to second. This is going to end the game. Horner throws him out, and the Cubs win the ball game. The Cubs playing their best series by far all year long, sweeping the Baltimore Orioles here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. The final tonight, 8-0.
Jed Hoyer, man, what a story that is.
Jed Hoyer with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Thrilled as always to be joined by the president of baseball operations for your Chicago Cubs on the Parkins and Spiegel Show by way of the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Jed, thanks for the time. What's up, man?
Not much. When you guys like work from home, like, do you like kind of wander around and do you guys sit in a desk? Because like when I do it, I just kind of wander outside talking to you guys. Like, how do you guys do it?
Yeah, so I'm in the office, but it's tough. Like, you hear the 4-year-old or the 2-year-old screaming, and you're compelled to go help. But you're like, if I was downtown, they'd have to deal with this on their own. So then yeah, I don't help.
Jed, we're on camera too, because everything's a visual medium now. So we have to look presentable. Also, I wear pants out of respect for the field. How about you when you work from home?
I'm probably wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I mean, so much of my job is on the phone. So the days I do work from home, I actually will, like, those are the days I'll put in like 20,000 steps, just wandering around, because I can't really sit still. And if I'm going to be on the phone, I might as well get some exercise. So that's usually my move, is just those days that I'm working the phones, I just wander.
So do you wander?
I'm not going to lie, but I know it.
Well, you know, your job is weird. Do you wander with a smile these past 3 days? Are you wandering while smiling, you know, or do you wander less when the team is playing absurdly well, as they just did in Baltimore?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, honestly, I've wandered a lot, not with a smile, you know, this year. And, yeah, obviously, like, it's great. It's really impressive to go in there, you know, and play probably the best team in the American League and perform like that. You know, that's obviously fun to watch and gratifying to watch. And, you know, I think it's been an odd year in the sense of we played so well in April through a tough stretch. I mean, it was a hard schedule in April and we did great. And then we just didn't play well for such a long period. And you kind of kept waiting. Okay, we're going to come out of this. And, you know, my hope is that now we're hopefully coming, you know, starting to come out of this. I think, you know, to a person, I think everyone feels like we're a much better team than we played in May and June, but at some point you have to prove that. And hopefully, you know, one week of good baseball doesn't prove that, but it's a start, and hopefully we can build on this.
Does it remind you of last year?
I mean, again, we have to keep going, but like in terms of, yeah, like having a really long period and then playing great. I mean, I remember the stretch we had before London last year. You know, I think we got to 10 under in LA, and then we went to San Francisco and won 2 out of 3, and then really hit. I was looking at the scores. We really hit through that period. I think we played the Pirates, and we played actually Baltimore, and then the Pirates again, and really we swung the bats, and we went into London on a high note, and then we kind of fell back down again and then did it again. But really the thing last year that it was a catalyst for all of our different hot streaks was the offense. And we had a really good offense last year, and that's been really what I've clearly been missing into that, through that cold stretch, was just like the total inability to spread games out, to score. Felt like we were playing a one run or tie game every single night. And, you know, the nice thing about this stretch, and I hope it continues, is that we've been able to spread some games out and give some breathing room. And I think just as a team that has such a huge impact, you know, mentally, it has an impact on the bullpen, it has interest, you know, impact on the hitters. So I do feel like this part has felt like that in terms of scoring some runs and actually winning some games that aren't 2-1 or 3-2.
Is there a daily email with playoff odds going out to the baseball ops staff these days?
Not yet. I mean, it's something where, you know, right now we're in draft meetings, and so we're focused on the draft. And, you know, I feel like that will definitely happen as we get, you know, it's kind of starting next Friday. You know, we get past the draft and get into, you know, kind of real deadline stuff. I mean, right now, like, we have everything set up from a kind of a deadline war room standpoint, like kind of all those things are there. But in the industry, like I've talked to so many different teams in the last week, and I think to a person, you know, people talk about ideas or deals or needs or where they are. But, you know, even as we learned last year, like these things change really rapidly, and, you know, you still expect the lion's share of the action to happen in the last week and even in the last like 2 or 3 days.
So last year you got up to about 27% playoff odds and ended up with doing the bye. And we wondered if like the context changes things this year? Like, it was supposed to be a competitive season. Does that mean that it doesn't have to get quite that high to be a buy, or is it the same kind of parameters for you?
That's a good question. You know, I last year, I think we talked about that. It just sort of felt like the way we were playing, and we'd already played that way for a stretch before, so it wasn't like out of nowhere. You know, the way we played in that stretch, it felt like, you know, this is clearly the right thing to do for this group. And I think we'll see how we play. I think that's the most important thing. You know, I don't think that, you know, it's not a pure science. There's no doubt. You're not going to have a exact number. But I do think there's, you know, there's a lot of factors that have to go into it. You know, how you're playing, health, you know, where the other teams are. You know, if all of a sudden, you know, a bunch of teams go on 10 game winning streaks, even if we play well, the odds could shrink dramatically, you know? So there's so many factors. I would say the most important thing for us right now is that, you know, we went 8+ weeks playing, you know, really poor baseball. I think we all felt like that isn't who we are. This last week has been positive. Like, my hope is that we can, you know, continue to play well for the next, you know, for the next couple weeks. And hopefully with that, those odds that you talk about, you know, keep going up, because obviously, you know, I certainly believe in this team on opening day. I certainly believe in this team on May 1st. And, you know, I still do, but obviously we put ourselves in a position that's difficult, and now we have to fight, you know, to, you know, dig out from under that position a little bit. And, you know, that can be difficult. I think we can do it, but we certainly haven't made our path as simple as possible.
That basically the belief, it has to wane a bit, right? Like, it's not like you don't believe in the guys individually, but you can't deny reality.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And, you know, but like how we play over this next stretch, I think that does mean a lot. I mean, this is a strange game, and you know, our cold streak lasted much longer than I expected. I kept waiting for this to end, and you know, it didn't. But then I look at, you know, I look at the two teams in the World Series last year. They both had really long bad stretches. I look at, you know, this year, for example, the Yankees, you know, they were incredible. And now I think they've lost 8 straight series, you know? So in our sport, there's definitely ups and downs. Our down was much longer and deeper than I think we expected. But you know, if we start to play well, I think at some point we balance those things out. And I do believe that we're a talented team. I think we're a deep team. And I think that we, you know, at our best, I think we can compete and make the playoffs, but we've made that a very difficult thing by getting to 9 under and by really, you know, by sort of giving up the early cushion that we had and going all the way in the other direction. Now we have to play really good baseball, I was thinking, to kind of get back to neutral. And we started that process now, but it has to keep going.
Jed, we've known you and talked to you for a long time. You and Theo, you guys talked about being now like a product of and a victim of, in some ways, of your success. The bar has raised. You're 4 years into a 5-year deal. Like, do you personally feel pressure? Does that matter and factor into this thing, given you're the guy in charge now?
Yeah. I mean, it's a totally fair question. I mean, I always think to myself, and the kind of way I was raised and taught is like, once you say me or I in this game, like, you've done something wrong, you know? I feel like, you know, my first year, you know, we obviously slashed payroll. We traded away the core. You know, I think that like at the end of that first year, sort of where we were, as an organization was not positive, you know, and I'm super proud of, you know, going to the beginning of this year, having a top 2 farm system, having a really talented team. I think that like, we've obviously made great strides. Our May and June were disappointing, and that's undeniable. You know, it's not about me. You know, I think that, you know, I'm proud of our staff and we've made really good decisions, but obviously I think that we need to, you know, like, we need to do better than we did in May and June. But I never, like, it's not about me. It's about our staff. It's about, you know, making good decisions and doing the right thing for the Cubs. Lord knows the Cubs are certainly bigger than I am.
Hey, Jed, now that Craig has been here for half a season and gotten to know his players and the roster, has his voice increased in terms of the decision, in terms of his input on roster decisions? Does he get a louder voice the longer he's here and learns the players?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. I really value his input and his intelligence. And I just talked to him for half an hour, and you know, we weren't talking about, you know, platoon matchups or things like that. We were just kind of talking, you know, like things about our team, you know, philosophical things. He's very bright. He studies the material. And so it's kind of exactly what you want. You want that person to be a partner in the decision. You want him to have a voice because, you know, he's the one down there every single day. And I do think he has a mind in a way, like he thinks like a manager first, but he also, I mean, he could come up and do our job as well. And I think that's really valuable as he thinks about deals or thinks about, you know, the organization. So I talk to him all the time. Carter does all the time. And I really do value, you know, his input. I think he's really good at it and really balanced.
It's safe to say this is the most you've ever involved a manager in your career as an executive?
Yeah, I would say that. But I would also say he has a different skill set than some of the other guys I've been around. I've been around some really great managers, and, you know, Hall of Fame managers. And I think that, you know, they just probably took a little bit less interest in the front office part sometimes, you know. And so I did, like, this is the first time I've had a manager that really, like I said, he works in the front office. I think he, like, his mind works that way. So I just think it's a different, like, different interest level. You know, Terry Francona was incredible manager without question, but I don't think his mind didn't gravitate towards some of those nuances or aspects of the game. I think Craig's does. And I think it kind of leads to more conversations and more involvement.
We're talking to Jed Hoyer, and Jed Hoyer supports Lurie's Children's Hospital, ranked the number one children's hospital in Illinois by the U.S. News and World Report, located, of course, 225 East Chicago Avenue in downtown Chicago. And we'll also be telling some great stories of success from Lurie's coming up on our Cubs for a Cure Radiothon August 15th and 16th, ahead of the big Cubs for a Cure weekend. Wanted to talk about a few individual guys with you, Jed. Ben Brown, can you, like, explicitly or directly explain to Cubs fans what the injury is and what's going on?
Not well. I mean, so I would say the simplest way I can say it, and I don't think I'm violating any HIPAA regulations, is that, you know, his neck had been stiff. He'd been pitching with it for a manageable, and it got to a point that he really didn't feel like it was manageable. So we started to try to figure out what it was. And we went through, he's been to a bunch of different experts and trying to figure out what was causing it. There was no disc issues. So it was really a question of, like, sort of, you know, some bone issues. And ultimately now it's really a matter of sort of him getting rid of the stiffness before he can really, you know, pitch at his level. So, definitely a confusing one, complicated, trying to figure out exactly what was causing that stiffness. And, like, to his credit, he pitched exceptionally well with it, but I think he got to a point, it worsened and got to a point where he just felt like, I'm feeling this a lot when I'm out there. We haven't gotten to a point yet where he's throwing and doing those things, but he hasn't gotten to a point yet where he feels like, okay, I can just be free and easy and let it go. And obviously he's a super valuable pitcher for us now and in the future, so we don't want to push him, you know, past anything that's too much. So, you know, my hope is that it will continue to improve that stiffness, and he'll get to a point where, you know, he's back. And obviously he's been keeping his arm in shape, which is good. And therefore, hopefully when he does get to be pain-free or does get to be stiffness-free, that he'll be able to ramp up quickly.
So you haven't written him off as a potential contributor for this season just yet?
No, not at all. Not at all. But that said, do I have a clear timeline? Like, no, I don't think this is an injury that has, like, a clear timeline. And, you know, it's been one, like I said, we gotten a lot of opinions and we've sent him to a bunch of doctors. And the reason we would do that, of course, is that it was somewhat muddy trying to figure out exactly what was causing it. And so, yeah, I don't have a clear timeline of when he'll be ready.
Jed, in terms of the hitters, we've been noting the line drive rate as an offense was 29th out of 30th for a long time. Fly ball rate was pretty high, but the homers were down. So it reads like a team that doesn't quite have the pop to hit it out, but is still trying to hit the ball in the air, which, of course, is the way that a lot of the league functions. With this recent stretch, have you seen them hitting more line drives? Is there a... And has that been a thought process or a conversation at all on a group level?
Yeah, well, I think you always want to hit more line drives. I mean, really, if you there's a lot of things we were 29th and 30th in if you go back to that stretch. And I know, looking at it, it was, at one point, I think, over about a 60-game stretch, I think we were had the lowest batting average and lowest slug, which is a pretty bad recipe to score runs. And, when I look at our team, last year, I think we were sixth in baseball in run scoring. This year we're well below that. You would look at, stats like slugging percentage and batting average were well below where we were. So I do feel like, we were, and situationally, I would add, situationally with guys in scoring position for that 60 or so games, we were dead last in a lot of categories by a pretty significant margin. But we're also the same group of players that were, really in the top two or three in those categories in April. And not surprisingly, during this streak, we look more like the April team than that. And so I do feel like, we spent so much time looking at, why is our offense not performing? What is going on? Why is this happening at the same time? I fully expect that we're going to hit better over the rest of the season. I do think, there's, who knows? We last year we were sixth. Maybe that was a hair higher than we probably should be in run scoring. But ultimately, I know we're not the team we have been so far, And so my hope is that, we have some positive regression. I think we've seen, Michael Bush is playing great right now. Ian's had a really nice stretch. Hopefully Say is getting hot. I think as we get some of these guys performing and getting hot, and especially doing it situationally, I think we'll see our offense tick up. We are not the offense we were for 2 months. My hope is that, as we start to have that regression to the mean, my hope is that we score a lot of runs, and that helps us, this helps us spread a bunch of games out.
And that's what it's looked like this past week. Bush and Happ and Saya seem to be rolling, and Dansby with a good couple of days in a row. Would you like to take another victory lap on Bush, or do you want to wait? Should we get you for that later in the year?
No, I mean, there's no victory laps in this in this game. But he's been really good. I think the things that, he did well in the minors, he's done well in the majors. He makes really good decisions at the plate, and I think that puts him in a lot of good counts to hit. And I think it's been impressive. And I think also I'm impressed with him that, he was hot and then he was cold. And I think he worked through his struggles and worked through those things, maturely, which is hard. When you start struggling in the big leagues, it's hard to, it's hard to just work through those struggles. And so it's impressive to me that he's now sort of gotten hot again. And, I do think that with offense, it is sometimes about getting, multiple guys hitting well at the same time, and it felt like we couldn't get that going. We really, when we had that stretch, no one in particular was really had a hot streak, that carried us for 3 or 4 days. And then Ian kind of came the closest to that when he hit the 2-3 run homers. And so hopefully we can get some guys now that can, can start to get hot. And if you get a couple of guys, even a couple, I think that can really lift an offense. And felt like we went months without that, and so hopefully we can start going in that direction.
Council is disarmingly steady publicly. We interview him every other week. I've known him for a long time. I know he's crazy competitive, so I'm sure you've seen some ups and downs in the emotion, but who is that? You have to calm Tom down? Is Carter throwing stuff? Who's the hothead in the circle of trust?
I'm probably always the emotional one, but no, it's really impressive. It is.
It's crazy.
Council's so steady. Well, and it's what you need to go through. You go through 162 games, and I was saying earlier, even the best seasons I've been a part of, there was at least a 2-3 week period where we were awful. And so, unfortunately, we stacked those 2 months on top of each other. But the idea. I mean, he's coming in day in, day out, being the same person, believing in the players, being encouraging. He does that every single day. And, I think he really does. I've been around managers that don't get too low, but they can get pretty high, at times. And I feel like with him, it's just, nope, you're going after a win or a loss. There's not a lot of difference in demeanor. We kind of talk through roster moves or talk through, something, but there's not, it's just, he's kind of on to the next thing very quickly, which I think is, probably a lifetime in the game watching, and it's probably his personality. But I do think that that steadiness, it really does pay off, because, you know, players need to, they need a steady hand. They know, they need to know who's making decisions. They need to know the person making decisions every day is steady. And he is that, you know, times 100.
Jed, one other thing about Saya, who's been hitting the ball so well, but is what can be done or has been done to try and help him in right field? There's been some drops. I've saw someone refer to it as the yips or indecision. Nico almost got hurt last night as they collided. Is that a conversation, or is it tricky business to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. Obviously, he has struggled out there at times. But not something that was anticipated. He obviously had a really good reputation defensively in Japan, and I think that he, you know, he has all the tools to be a really good right fielder. He's fast. He can throw. But yeah, he's definitely even going back to last year, showing some of that on balls. And yeah, I think that the honest answer probably is it's tricky. But I think it's something we have to keep working. Keep working on the right way. But yes, it's it has been unusual, and it's, doesn't go unnoticed. And hopefully it's something he gets through, and hopefully it's something, and hopefully he just keeps hitting, because a big part of why we were good last year in July and August was the fact that he took off.
Whatever you guys did with Lester, and he got over the throw into first thing. So, just use that methodology, Jed.
Hey, I'll give Joe so much credit on that, because it was such a big problem, especially in 15. It was just terrible. And he just sort of embraced it. It was really impressive. Like, he just said, okay, you can't throw to first, no problem. Like, he kind of set up everything with Wilson and Rossi and Rizzo. And it was just kind of, Joe did such a good job with that, of making that a non-issue. It was impressive. Like, he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Well, Jed, we're enjoying working from home. Get your 20,000 steps in. If you are, I'm not putting on pants, even though we're talking to the president of the Cubs. Thank you for the time, sir.
Anytime, guys. Take care. See ya.
All right. See you at the ballpark. That is Jed Hoyer. And again, he is heavily involved with Lurie's Children's Hospital.
You know, that human side interests me, whether it's like Lester and that thing where Lester had to embrace it and kind of own it and get over it himself, or Trey Mancini last year playing first base. What a disaster that was. And it's anxiety. It's personal anxiety. And it is tricky to talk about. Like, he admitted, it's a tricky thing to talk about with a talented, extremely well-paid former Japanese superstar who's still killing the ball offensively. But it's a tricky thing to bring up on a human level with Saya.
We got a few more minutes here, but I want to open up the phone lines. 312-644-6767. This is an interesting moment for the Cubs. You can hear it in Jed's voice. Like, that was certainly no victory lap. He was saying it was encouraging, but he spent way more time talking about the two-month stretch of no offense, even when we weren't asking about it. Mm-hmm. We asked plenty of questions about the struggles and why they're here and underachieving, but he kept referencing it back. It did not sound – and the other thing that I thought, he admits fully what he's talking about, that they have their deadline war room, and they're doing more draft stuff right now, but he's been logging so many hours on the phones to see where teams are.
Yeah.
What that means is that he has scenarios for buys and scenarios for sells.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's talking about, like, I've spent so many hours on the phone with so many teams. It's because he's got to have, if they play well in the next 10 games, okay, you execute some of the stuff on the buy side. If they play poorly in the next 10 games, he's got to be prepared to execute some stuff on the sell side. I wonder if how fans are feeling, like, if they've been steadied by this, because it seemed that was about as direct as it can be, where he's saying this next stretch will determine the lane that we're almost approaching a fork in the road. We're not there yet, but this stretch of play is, are we going to choose folder A or folder B, the buy folder or the sell folder? Like, that's what I took from six or seven different answers pieced together.
Well, yeah, I would add that his answer on whether the context is different at the deadline this year than last year was very thoughtful, and because I think it is. And I think the way that he talked about that answer, I don't think they have to get as close – for them to feel like they ought to make a small buy this year. That's my gut feeling on it, and even more so after hearing him think about it, because of what they believed this team would be. And if they have a decent stretch here, you add that to the stretch in the beginning of the year, and they can talk themselves into believing, for better or for worse, that they are closer to a good team than a bad team.
Yeah, but it's a large body of work, man, of being slightly above or slightly below average. Their stretches are very good, obviously,
mm-hmm.
and then their stretches of horrible. But baseball is sample size, right? Baseball is zoom out. Baseball is 30,000 feet.
I hear you, man. And that's
team,
it. That's his job. I get what I'm saying is he is emotional, and he does, as much as he works on the dispassionate side, there's going to be, I just think there's going to be part of him and part of the whole team that's going to be like, yeah, man, we knew we were going to be good, and this is it. We're showing it, and here we go. So I wonder if fans think it should, because of what this year was supposed to be.
312-644-6767. If you've made up your mind on what this Cubs team is and how you're feeling at this moment of time, anything that you want to react to from the president of the Cubs, we will continue to do the same. And on the other side, we also will tell you why Ron Kittle has been added to the program at 3:30 ahead of Vinny Goodwill at 4 o'clock. I don't know when the last time I was so excited for a conversation was with what the specific subject matter that we have for Ron Kittle coming up in half an hour. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.